Blog Talk Radio.
Psalm 40, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you to the program this evening. It is Thursday, June the 4th, 2020, and we thank God for another day, another opportunity to live our lives, to glorify Him, and to be used by Him to advance His kingdom in this culture, in this season of life. I'd like to welcome all of those who have called in at 646-668-2636, and all those listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. If you called in on the phone line, press 1 on your keypad. You can join the conversation, share your insights, your wisdom, ask questions, and just join us in a conversation tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking about I'm starting off a series talking about the character of Christian men and how our characters matter. And tonight we're gonna touch on a couple of character points and just look at scripture and discuss a little bit what it means to being honest, showing loyalty, and showing determination. Because as we know, the Word of God calls every man, every believer, to live a life in obedience to Christ and being reborn from the inside out. Having our character changed, having our heart changed, our mind changed, and those things that how we do and how we think and how we behave is changed because of our faith in Christ, because He is our Lord, He's our Savior. And the change starts from the inside, not the outside. Something we always talk about here at Issues Christian Men's Talk is about the change that starts in a man, starts on his heart and on the inside, not necessarily on the outside. Outward appearances can be deceiving to men, as we all know. However, today we want to talk about some of the character traits. And again, as I talk about this these issues and these different character traits for this series, again, I don't want to, any of my guests and myself, we don't want to presume to be standing on pedestals looking down on others and telling them, you know, be like me, look what I'm doing, and think that we have it all together, because we do not. This Christian walk it's a lifetime. We won't be glorified until we are with Him and He gives us a glorified body. But in our sanctification, in our growth, in our maturity, there should be certain changes. There should be things we should start to see different in ourselves, because that's where we're going to see it first, in ourselves, and then others will see that and start to reflect the God that's within us and how the Holy Spirit changes us. So I just want to encourage you. And for, as always, we want to talk about, this is something we need to look into the mirror. We need to look into the Word of God. Let the Word of God be our measuring stick, our yardstick, the chalk line, to see where we are in this spiritual walk. Because as men, we know the things that we go through, we know the trials and the tests that we go through, and we all know how we truly respond. Amen? So today, again, I just want to, we're going to discuss some of these. And again, if you have any questions or insights or wisdom, or this is something, a character trait that you've struggled with but then were able to overcome through your faith in Jesus Christ and being obedient to where we encourage you to join us and be part of the discussion tonight. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to open with prayer, and then we're going to get right into the conversation. We got folks, everyone on the line that called in at 646-668-2636. See you there. Thank you for taking time out of your evening and joining us tonight. Again, if you want to join the conversation, be part of the program, just press 1 on your keypad, and you can do that. Also, you can reach out to us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page, and on Twitter, we are up on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk. Issues Men's Talk on Twitter, and on Facebook, Issues Christian Men's Talk. Again, I thank you all for joining us, and let us pray. Father God, we just say thank you. Thank you, God, for all that you are and all that you've done, oh God. Father, we thank you, God, for creating us, oh God. We thank you, God, for all that you have done in the lives of your people and in your man and in your church today, God. Father, just today, I just want to just say thank you. Thank you for being sovereign, God. Even in the midst of what's going on in the culture, God, there's so many things going on, but you are still God, and we just say thank you. Father, we ask today that you would draw those who are called by your name, that you, your church, oh God, those who confess to be believers in your Son, Jesus Christ, oh God, that are called Christians here, called believers, oh God. Father, encourage them, touch them, God. God, continue to use them, oh God, to be a witness, even in the midst, God, because what we are called to is to reach the nations, to be an example in this culture, oh God, to not get caught up in it, God, but be a salt and light, Lord God. So, Father, you know what's going on, and none of the things that are happening right now are a surprise to you. But, God, we just thank you for the opportunity to be the church, oh God. So, Father, I pray right now, God, for wisdom and discernment, oh God, in the body of Christ, God. From everyone, from the pastors, elders, deacons, to those in the pews, God, those rank and file believers, oh God, your disciples, God, those who hunger after righteousness, Lord God, we pray their strength, oh God. We pray the Holy Spirit within them, oh Lord, to rise up in them and they be used, oh God, in every circumstance, in every situation. And that, God, you will hear the prayers of your people today, God, and bring change, oh God, in this world, God. Even though the things we're doing here in America is important to us, but your church is worldwide. God, we pray today for the persecuted church, those who are being persecuted just because of the name Jesus Christ. Those who are struggling in the midst, of God, to have other pressures and persecution and issues they're going through, Lord God, because you are omnipresent God, so you know their needs also, God. So, Father, we just say thank you for being an omnipresent God. Father, we ask that you continue to cover us, protect us, give us wisdom, give us grace, and give us mercy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Amen. All right. Well, tonight, again, we're going to be talking about some character traits because character matters. We're going to talk about being honest, showing loyalty, showing determination. Praise the Lord. Deacon Anthony, can you hear me, brother?
Yes, sir. How are you? Praise the Lord, sir.
I'm doing wonderful, brother. I can hear you. You loud and clear. I got you this week.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. We've been blessed and highly favored with our technical situation. For those of you who might have listened to us last week, we had a little technical problems at the beginning of the show, but we right on time this today. Amen?
Amen.
Again,
Amen.
Bro, I want to thank you for taking time out and joining us. I want to open with this, too, because we get a lot of different folk who listen, a lot of people, different folk who dial in, and I just wanted to know, just to let people know, starting off, that, you know, God loves us. God loves us and wants to have an ongoing relationship with us. And when that relationship is both about us talking to him and listening to him, and then we allow him to be part of all of our decisions in our life. And that's where the submission and the surrender and the humility of listening to the Holy Spirit. He wants us to experience abundant life. He speaks about abundant life in his word. But that abundant life, don't be confused. It's not about material things. It's about living a life of righteousness and joy and pleasing to Him. He wants to set us free. And for some of us, set us free from our past, set us free from the guilt of our past, set us free from the shame, the bondage, the sin, addiction, the selfishness, all those things that can weigh us down as men as we continue to navigate this culture, navigate our lives. But he can set us free from those things where we can accomplish what He had planned for us. Because remember, God created us all with purpose and plans for us and what we're going to do on earth for Him. And that's first, and our first step in that is coming to faith in Him and believing in Him. So again, understand that God loves you, and He has a plan for us to spend eternity with Him, to restore us back into the position Adam was before sin, before the sin. His Son is coming back. Jesus Christ is coming back, and He's not coming as a child. He's coming as a warrior. And when He comes back, you want to be with Him. You want to be on His side because He's coming with wrath. But today, every man will have to choose, come to Him, admit that you need Him, because that's about repentance. Be willing to turn from your sin. You have to turn from your sin. Understand what sin is. Sin is because of Adam, and because of Adam, that's the root of sin, and not a fruit of sin is your behavior. But now you repent from that, and you start to live obedient to his word. And to do that, you have to start to study His word, let His word sink in you, and let the Holy Spirit start to change you. To believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, understand that He died on the cross to pay the full price for our sins. And because He was risen on the third day, that tells us as Christian men that Jesus Christ's death and sacrifice was acceptable to God, just like He will raise us up again in the time of the resurrection. So today, open your heart, open your mind, that you might believe and become a son of God and become a believer and be saved from the wrath of God. So I just want to encourage anybody out there who's listening to the gospel. The gospel is true. Believe the gospel. Believe the word of God. And for my brothers out there who are believers, whatever you're going through, whatever challenges you're going through, whatever stress areas, whatever it is, seek God. Seek God. Seek His word. And live obedient to what you read and what you know and what you understand. And continue to always pray. Pray. Just pray. Amen? Amen. So tonight, bro, I'm going to jump right in. We're going to start in about honesty. What it means to be a man of the have a character of being honest. Some of us were liars. Some of us were hustlers. Some of us was a lot of things. Did a lot of dishonest stuff. But today, we could choose to do better and just to be honest. And what God is trying to teach us about that. Amen? So what do you think? So what do you say about honesty and how important that is for us as Christian men?
Well, first thing I would say is that for a believer in Jesus Christ, what we do first is we take on the character of Jesus Christ. It's all about, you know, how worthy your testimony is. It's really just about if your testimony is worthy enough and you really repent or you really don't like the life that you're living or the things that you have done or wanted or going to do in the future, okay? Total submission and surrender to Jesus Christ is the only way to do that. And I think a lot of misconceptions is like a lot of people get saved, but they don't have instruction. You know, people just say, you know, that they're saved or they go up and shake the pastor's hand or they say the sinner's prayer and everything like that. And then after that, not a lot of people have the instruction on how to live or how to depend on God for your living. A lot of times when, you know, people are dishonest or anything, it's really because of fear of the truth or the true you. You know, you said something a little bit ago about people coming from the world and coming into Jesus Christ. We did a lot of hustling. We did a lot of that stuff. And what I remember a lot of times is I would be on the streets or whatever I was doing, and I knew the people, some of the people around me wasn't real. The lifestyle that they were choosing is because they thought that they could get street credibility by being out there with some people who really needed the streets to support them. You know, like you doing this as an activity, and this is actually my life because I'm not making ends meet somewhere else. Okay, whether it's my mother or whatever situation I'm in, I can't actually get the lifestyle that you have, but you're actually trying to model my life that I'm actually living. So the thing is that in those situations. They want to try to be bold, but they really are fearful that they will be exposed. And that's what happens when you have the truth living on the inside of you. It'll expose who you were and who God would want you to be. See, light and darkness can't dwell in the same place because you already know the light is going to shine through the darkness. So with Jesus Christ on the inside, what he does is he allows us to examine ourselves and show errors in our walk and show errors of where we came from. A lot of times, if you don't really examine yourself and see where God brought you from, how can you really say that you truly appreciate it? You might actually walk in error thinking that, you know, well, I got this thing now. I got Jesus Christ. So now I can live a life where I'm already forgiven. I can just, you know, take advantage of the blood of Jesus Christ, and I can just, you know, make God's name an open shame. And that's not really what we want to do, but that happens to a lot of believers, and a lot of people, unbelievers, a lot of unbelievers have a misconception. They say, well, if God saved you and you in this club with me, well, how honest is your testimony or how worthy is it? Because if God is really truly your Lord, why is it that his word has no effect on you? So it's a lot of times where, you know, we get saved, we actually come to know Jesus Christ, but we still got a lot of different errors or things that we're dealing with, and God wants to clean us up from the inside out. However, it's going to take for us to be able to see God's word once we hear the word and be able to do the word. Now, I think a lot of times it's actually in a perspective of what people do as far as what we call secret sins. Okay, I know you probably heard that before, but secret sins is things that you do in secret that nobody knows about, okay, and those struggles come up. And, you know, you may present something in the church, but you know that there's errors that you really, really need to seek God for to actually get rid of and so that he can deliver you from those things. Well, God is a deliverer and a rescuer, okay? And I actually studied that word rescue. Rescue means that you really did call for help. Whenever we're actually in trouble, let's say naturally, right? If we're in trouble naturally, whether we're about to tell a lie, whether we're about to do something dishonest, whenever we're in trouble or something is about to happen to us, even that will cause us to do things to transgress against God, immediately we call for help. You know, I call my brother. I would call the police, I guess you could say. You know, I know that a lot of people ain't fan of police right now. But the thing is in a time of trouble, you actually call for the help. And I think that's one ingredient that a lot of us believers, once we do come to know who Jesus Christ is, and we know that he is a deliverer, we know that he actually is a healer, we actually still don't actually open our mouths up to call when we're in those areas of temptation or in those areas where we know we need help. We try to figure it out or do things ourselves, so that, you know, we can say, well, Lord, I don't really need to call you for this. But God said acknowledge him in all things. So it's just a matter of once we come to know who Jesus Christ is, and you don't want to actually put on this personification of character that you have it all together. Because I don't want to mislead anybody thinking that as a believer in Jesus Christ, things don't happen and times don't get rough. I was in for a rude awakening. I actually struggled more as a believer than as an unbeliever, because in those areas, I could solve my own problems because I had no boundaries to the things that I would do. So I don't want people to get it misunderstood that once you come to know who Jesus Christ is, now all of a sudden everything is going to be good. That's not what we want to say. But the thing is, what we do want to do is we want to model the character of Jesus Christ to depend on him solely for everything, every area in our lives. So a lot of times when we do things that are dishonest, when we lie, when we cheat, when we do things that we know that that transgress against God, a lot of times it's just because of fear. You know, we don't want to be exposed. We don't want to, you know, tell anybody. We don't want to get help for something. We're kind of embarrassed. Whatever the case may be, we have to absolutely know that we can truly depend on Jesus Christ. And we know that he is a rescuer of those things or those areas that we struggle with. So what do you think about that, D?
You know, bro, I agree. You touched a lot there in what you were saying. Because, you know, that honesty, it is about truthfulness and being honest in where we are in our faith and in our walk and with our struggles. Because you said about what you mentioned about, you know, accountability, who you're going to call. I mean, I say this all the time to brothers. God has put people in your life, other Christians, other believers, other men in your life to hold accountable, to keep you on your path and on the straight and narrow, to help us. And that's why it's so important when I tell brothers why we need to have men's ministries and gatherings and build those male relationships that, and even any believer, you need to have people around you that's going to help you in this walk. You're not to be out here alone. So who are you going to call? I mean, because God is going to put people in our lives. And there's a reason. And for us, we have to, first of all, to be a help, to be honest, first with ourselves or who we are. You know, because it's being truthful, it's being accurate in the things that we do in our lives, how we treat people, how we speak to people, and we honest and how we represent ourselves to people as Christians and as Christian men, that we're living a life that's truthful. I think honesty and truthfulness go together. That's one of the things, because we know that, you know, a God's hearts are sinfully and wicked. The scripture says that. And then if we go by what we think because no matter how good we think we are, there's something in our heart that's just not right. But it's through our belief in Christ, our obedience to his word, that we start to live on his lives. And I think that's where we all have to get to that place where we're going to examine ourselves. Are we truthful? Are we trustworthy in the things we say? And even, again, are we surrounding ourselves with people who's going to help us on that path? Because it's not easy. If you live the life, or you had the mindset, I won't say to live the life, but you had this mindset that you're going to say whatever it takes to get you over it and get you whatever you want, that's where God has to start dealing with you. And that's where, as people of God, honesty is a character quality. That, again, it's a spirit. It's a change of heart. It's a change of thinking. It's a change in how we see the world. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And we live in obedience to the Spirit. And then through that, we read the word and apply the word to our life. Because, you know, sometimes it's just that simple. For everyone who's listening out there, for the brothers that are listening, the application of the word. If you have nothing else, start to apply the word and then pray that God will start to let that thing take root in you. If you have a problem with, you know, being honest with a point that who trusts you? Who really trusts you? Your wife, your kids, people in your job, your friends, your coworkers, your people in your church. Trust me, there's people who see you. Some people see you. I don't care what you profess to be, but they know they can't trust you. And it's only going to be the supernatural working and changing of God, how he's going to change you to the point where those same people will now see you differently. And that's where we talk about our testimony. Because the first person that you'll be able to reach is the same people that you lied, cheat, ran with, did dirt with, will see the change in your life and know that there's a God where that will open an opportunity for you now to share the gospel with them and reach them. So I think the character trait of honesty is one of those things that as we, again, examine ourselves, submit ourselves humbly to God and start to change us, that we can change again. Our truthfulness and what we say, we're honest with ourselves, we're honest with others, and we're living this Christian life in an honest manner. We don't have, I talked about this on other programs, about having two lives. We got the Christian life, and then how we act at work or how we act back in wherever we are around, because we don't change the people we're around. So, again, like you said, you know, how can you be a Christian? You say you're a Christian, but you're still running, you're still with me in the club every week or every other day or whatever it is. You're still doing the stuff you did before, hanging around me, but you want to say you're a Christian. We have to examine ourselves there. And let me say this,
amen,
too. There's a word in there's a word that talks about accountability, and we are called to hold each other accountable. We're not called to judge, because judgment is different. I don't want to go to the theological thing about that, but just understand this: you confess, again, I always tell brothers this, we confess to be Christians. So now, if you tell me you're a Christian, now I'm gonna look at you, and now I'm gonna hold you accountable to the word. Maybe you need me to say, bruh, that's not God-like. You know, what does God say about that? What does God say about what the things you say and do? Because, you know, everything, again, that's why the Bible's there. The Bible and the Holy Spirit is there to keep us in line when we drift off. But if you call me your brother in Christ, or I call you my brother in Christ, if I see something, I'm going to say something, because I don't want you to drift off to the point where you make the wrong choices, do something that's going to affect you, your family, and then also we got to be held accountable too, because we here on earth don't know who is and who isn't. That's the sovereignty. That's the wisdom of God. But if you confess to be, then we reason together with the Word of God to keep each other on track. And honesty is one of those things. And I say that too, but let me ask you this though. How important is it for us, when we're talking about being honest, again, in our relations with other Christians and other believers, how important is it to really be honest when we see something, or we want to check on each other? Because y'all, if we, again, this is why I like this with Scripture. We don't want to use Scripture as cliche. Because if I'm truly my brother's keeper, if I see something that doesn't just look right, am I willing to be honest and approach my brother about it? I don't mean call him out. You know what I'm saying, bro? Not call them all out in the church, but approach him and say, hey, bro, you know, you okay? What's going on? And this is what I'm seeing. Are we, when it comes to that kind of honesty, what do you say about that? How important is that in building relationships between the brethren? What do you say?
See, in that approach, it's just you got to understand the relationship you have with the individual. Not every relationship, you got to make sure the relationship that you have with a person or a brother or a sister in Christ is real. I know the word says iron sharpeneth iron, a friend to a friend. However, you have to make sure you're hitting iron. Because if you're not hitting iron, you're going to cut that brother or sister, and they're not actually mature enough in Christ to receive what you have to say about it. I think that's actually a teaching of something that all believers have to understand. When you do, because it's a chastising point, is really when you see something that a person is doing, whether, you know, you have a relationship or not, we have a relationship with each other because we know that we are the body of Christ. A lot of people don't see that, and they actually come to the building called church for different reasons and purposes. So it's really hard to say who's who and who's not. Even if a person that that we actually interact with in the building, I'm talking, just the building, we thinking that it's okay for us to address certain things and certain eras in their life. We would think that. I would think that. So my thought and my process in doing that is just that I have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit on how to approach that individual. I may see something that may grieve my spirit, and I may not act on it right away because I might be hesitant because I don't know where that person is spiritually. So what has to happen, and we've seen it before. We've seen times, and I know we've seen this before. We've seen times where someone had to be chastised or some things had to be brought out amongst the church members, and the people left, you know? And really they had to understand that they weren't actually leaving the building called church, but they were actually coming against what we know is right and what is Scripture. Okay. Now, it's the same thing as far as our responsibility to Jesus Christ, though. Because if I do love you, I want to address the things that I know is not pleasing to God. I'm going to want to. And I would hope and I would pray that the person that I do speak to, whether we have a close relationship or not, is spiritually mature to receive what I'm saying. I would pray on that first. And then approach him about the situation, because we can't be a part of this body and the things you do don't really affect me. I can't ignore it, you know, just brush it off as if, well, you're an adult. But first, I have to understand you're part of my body. If I hold you close like a body member, like a real member of my body, I don't care what part of the body it is. It could be a pinky toe. I guarantee you, if that pinky toe get interrupted, your walk still ain't going to be straight. And I'm just saying, so it's a thing where we have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit before we approach those individuals. Now, when we do come to those individuals, we have to understand we have to do it in love, okay? We can't,
yes.
We don't want to be presumptuous and, you know, judgmental. But what we want to do is we want God to be glorified after the chastisement. And see, that's a lot of reasons why I'm hesitant sometimes to speak, or I'm hesitant to, you know, address certain issues with individuals, because I know it may cause division, but it's just I wait for the Holy Spirit to give me the words to say, because I don't want to come off as if I have it all together, or as if, you know, I want to, like I'm your boss or something like that, or I'm over you because I have a title. I don't want to come off that way. So I want God to be glorified after whatever we address. Okay, and I may have seen the guy, I don't know, in the store or something, talking to somebody I know who wasn't his wife, and they were talking and conversating or something like that. And I may say, okay, I'm going to wait. I'm going to roll up on them later. I'll call them later. Because what you do is you want to follow what the Word of God would say on how to address those situations. And then God is glorified through his Word. If you don't do it the way that God would have us to address things, then now we're acting out of the will of God, and now we want God to fix something that his Word doesn't actually declare, or that he doesn't confirm in his Word. So we got to make sure that we know the Word of God on how to address those brothers and sisters in Christ and say, hey, what you're doing really does affect me. I try that approach a lot of times, because that lets them know that I'm personable and that I really do love you and depend on you to be in line with Jesus Christ and not out of his will, because I may need prayer for something from you. We may need to touch and agree, and I want to make sure that there's nothing in you that you may be, you know, having on you as a burden, or there's no disagreement between the two of us, or that there's nothing here that interferes with the prayer that we're going to offer up to God. And if so, we need to actually repent about it, and we need to make sure that God is glorified out of the prayer and out of what our walk together. I try that approach because I want the person to know that I do love them. And I'll say, hey, you know, I noticed a lot of things and, you know, it hurt me. See, a lot of times you get attention when you say something hurt you. You know, it's more of the thing. They're like, man, really, it hurt you. What hurt you? Hey, bro, it hurt me because I didn't, you know, I depend on you. I depend on your love. I depend on your walk. I depend on, you know, the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you. I depend on the gifts that God has given you. I depend on, you know, your presence. I depend on things that, you know, as a family, what we should be doing in Christ, and you know, your drive, your you know, I encourage them as I approach them, because I don't want them to be hurt after I leave. I want the Holy Spirit to step in and say, hey, man, you know, God's word is true. You really know that that brother or sister is dependent on you. And for them to see you in an error or in a way that they know that might actually cause division in the body of Christ, or it may cause you to drift, it hurt him because he don't want you to drift. He likes seeing you. He likes, you know, fellowshipping with you. And see, that's the thing. If you, you know, you can strengthen a relationship with a brother or a sister by encouraging them and loving on them, because a lot of things could cause division the way that a person may do it. So we want to make sure that the Holy Spirit gives us what to say, and we always want to make sure that it glorifies God after the chastisement, because we know that whatever God gives us to say is from God to the person. It's not our words that we're saying, you know? And you explain those things. You say, hey, man, the Holy Spirit grieved me, you know, when you addressed the church and you started speaking in tongues or something. Or the Holy Spirit grieved me, and, you know, I'm a musician, so I'm going to say this. The Holy Spirit grieved me when you went from one song and went right into a secular song, not knowing that that melody may have actually drew a person to a backsliding or a place in their mind where they remember where that is. And then the enemy used that at that time to get him to drift and fall away from the things of God. So it's a lot of things that happens in ministry that the Holy Spirit has to get our understanding and get our attention to be able to address out of love, because it's only God that we want to glorify. If you have that mindset and your life is totally, totally dedicated to Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, brother, we won't have a problem addressing anything in the body of Christ, because we know that as many members and one body, and this one body is what we depend on. So when I pray, you pray. When I see you and I greet you, you greet me. When I hug you, hey, I need you. I depend on you, you know? So that's what the thing that we need to understand when we address things like that. And it's just, you pray that the person that you do address is mature enough to handle it. What you think, D?
Bro, you're absolutely correct, man. You know, I appreciate what you're saying, because it is about relationship. And for us as husbands and fathers, this is, again, these are people dependent on us. We're dependent on each other. We depend as the body of believers, as the body of Christ. I won't say the church. I'll say the body of Christ, because once we are believers, we're part of a body. And God has called us to do many great things together. We can do more together than we can separately. And you're right. And as you were thinking, as a couple of scriptures came to my mind here, I want to give it to those who are listening. As you know, I always give with scriptures. You have a pencil and a piece of paper, or you can always go back and listen to the broadcast, the rebroadcast and the archive. But we go to Proverbs 27:6. It talks about the wounds of a friend can be trusted, but the enemy gives multiple kisses. That means your enemy lied to you to make you feel good, but the wounds and the wisdom from a friend can help you. It can be trusted. That's Proverbs 27:6. And then also our honesty. We're called to an honesty in relationship to motivate each other by love, and not be so obsessed with just keeping people happy or not wanting to confront people. Because love, you can't say you love someone and watch them drive off a cliff. You can't say you love someone and watch them do some stuff that's hurtful. Like the brother said, I can't say I love you and just let you do anything. You know, we look at it as fathers. We know we love our children. We want the best of them. That means that's why we don't let them do anything. As a husband, you know, we're called to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and that means we have to be on guard. We have to be watchmen on the wall. We have to be able to speak into that. And we'll talk about those relationships, but then when we talk about relationships brother to brother, we have to have that same passion of living the word, that we speak in life because we love them and we care for them, because we do need each other. That's why we're called the body of Christ. We need each other. You mentioned the pinky toe. You're right, because you know you got an ingrown toenail, you stub your toe, and then try and put your shoes on. That ain't going well. You're going to be limping. You may not show it, but your body is going to show it, because you'll be favoring that foot until it stops hurting. So that's Amen. How we have to really see what God's trying to do with us and us as a body and us as individuals. Because, again, it goes back to who you're going to call. You know, are we connected in prayer? When somebody say, you know, Kim, you call somebody and they pray for you, you don't want their lives to be all jacked up, that their prayers won't get through, or they're not even going to pray for you. Because how would you ask somebody to pray and they got all kind? It's not that they don't have stuff going on, but are they living in obedience to God, that they're dealing with the stuff they got on, where the point of God hears their prayers, even though they may be going through? It's not about having our lives perfect and nothing going on. We're all going to have challenges. But if we live in honest lives, we're always going to speak truth. We're going to speak truth to each other. We're going to be an honest person when it comes to telling the truth about God, and help foster the spiritual growth in others by the truth we tell. Amen? So I'm going to give those couple of scriptures. It was Proverbs 27:6, Proverbs 19:22, and I have one more here that I popped up here. It was Ephesians 4:29. So just meditate on those things as we talk about what it means to be honest and being honest and living lives as honesty as men. Amen. We're going to keep moving here. You listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8, every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., talking about the issues of life as men, as husbands, fathers, and sons, as we continue to lead in the church, in the community, and in our homes, and encourage those out there in the faith. But I also know, I know every time now and then a couple of women sneak in and listen, but we want to encourage you too, because it all applies. But I just want to encourage the brothers to be in who they called to be, and not shy away, and learn to step into the role that God created men to be. Amen? But we're going to talk about loyalty now. When we talk about loyalty, being remaining to be committed to the two. Well, let me say this. Remaining committed to those whom God has brought into our lives. We call to serve. We call, as I said, our wives, our children, our church family, those in the church. Because, again, I talked about this before, and we talk about loyalty. Are we living? Are we being loyal to the people that God has put in our life for right now, today, this season of your life, where you are, the people who are in your life, from your home, extended to the church, extended to your workplace? Are you showing loyalty, a godly loyalty to them, that you are living a life that again is an example, is pleasing to God, and using all your opportunities to maybe reach them for Christ or to encourage them along the way? Are we living, again, committed to those around us? And that's something that even myself, that I start to pray about and think about. God doesn't put people in our life. It's not by accident that we are connected one to another. Again, we are the body of Christ, and then, and on the other end of that, we are called to be salt and light wherever we are. How important is it to be loyal and committed to those things? What do you say, bro? Uh-oh, I lost you. Brother Deacon Anthony, are you there?
I'm here. I'm sorry. Got area signal, I guess. Sorry about that. So,
all right, I got you. I hear you now. Loud and clear. Over, Roger.
So, loyalty, you have to look at loyalty as commitment and a covenant. When we actually are believers of Jesus Christ, that's a covenant, or what you would say a marriage, because we are the bride of Christ. So the things that you wouldn't do or do in your natural marriage, you shouldn't do in your spiritual marriage. One of the things that we have to understand is that we've died to sin. Until we really acknowledge that we've died to sin, then we actually don't have a commitment to this flesh, okay? And we don't depend on the things and the impulses that this flesh give us so that we can dictate who we really truly belong to, okay? Now, your commitment and loyalty to Jesus Christ, really a person would see that reflection on how you act and how you present yourself. If you don't present yourself as a married individual or a person who has a covenant, then basically you are a person who was cast out and you're single, okay? But if you are presenting yourself as single, you may attach yourself to the wrong spiritual mate. I'm not really necessarily talking about, you know, the physical relationships that we have as far as marriage. I'm talking about you'll attach yourself to a lot of friendships, and they see that you'll be tossed to and fro by your emotions and by your flesh. However, to be loyal and to be committed to the things of Jesus Christ, that really does take a vow, in other words. We know that Jesus Christ has actually died. He shed his blood, and that was his vow to us, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. If you believe the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have actually signed that decree or commitment to be loyal to him. Now, your loyalty to him has to reflect your relationship with him. So I think what we veer away from a lot of times is because we're in this flesh, the way that we respond to a lot of things dictates our loyalty sometimes. It's in a place where we may compromise other things so that we're actually exalted, or that we actually get friendship, or that we get other, you know, committed relationships with other people, because it's based on what and how we feel at that particular time, and we've compromised with it. So it's like, for example, you know, a lot of times people compromise what their teenagers may do because they want their kids to be their friends versus their kids just being the child. So the role is kind of reversed. So I can't really necessarily tell my friends what to do, but I can tell my children what to do. And see, you'll compromise with a lot of things, and before you know it, the children are doing things that you know is not pleasing to God, and you know you're not pleased with it, but you'll compromise because you want that relationship. You think you're strengthening that relationship based off of, you know, compromising and being, you know, and not standing, you know, on the word of God at that time. So you're like, oh, okay, I'll let my daughter have a boyfriend and they can come over and do this, you know, hug. And see, you're compromising at that point. You're not actually standing on the word and saying the only relationship that God acknowledges is marriage. Now we, as believers of Jesus Christ, a lot of times we'd be put in predicaments to where either we have to agree with it, or we're actually an outcast to those people or those individuals at that time. But I am loyal to Jesus Christ. I am standing on the word of Jesus Christ. And it's him who I depend on, so I'd rather stick with him versus a million other people who come against him. So, again, it's one of them things where we have to be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ's word. We have to be rooted and grounded in our faith. If we're not rooted and grounded in our faith, then we could be tossed to and fro, okay? The word has to take root in our life to the point where it doesn't matter what other people say. I'm going to stand on the word of God because I know the word of God is going to come to pass. You know, it's really, really funny. I was actually teaching my son the other day. I said, now, I was teaching my son Matthew chapter 24. And I started saying, started reading the word of God to him and breaking down line for line. And I said, you know, right here where it says, be not troubled by these things, because these things must come to pass. So God is saying that don't be troubled by these things that you see happening, because it must come to pass. Now, this was written over 2,000 years ago. And it's just, and I told my son, I said, listen, you can find this scripture in Google. You don't even have to read the word of God. So you know people know that God said this over 2,000 years ago. I said, well, let's just say before I was born. So when I was born, these things that we see now didn't really happen, or they have happened, but they just haven't hit America as strong as it did now. And see, God's word said, don't be troubled by these things because these things must come to pass. But people, it's mind-blowing that people didn't adhere to that scripture where God said something and it actually happened. So people can say that they don't know God or they don't want to acknowledge God and everything like that. But if you read that scripture, it's basically telling you that my words will come to pass. God's words will come to pass. So I'll stay loyal to the word of God and what he says because I know what my reward is. And see, that's where a lot of us believers, we think our reward is here. And there's a lot of prosperity preaching that's going on around here so that people can compromise with what's going on. They're laying the foundation of that sin is good and obeying the word of God is wrong, in other words. And I know we see a lot of things happening. We see laws that are passing, gay marriages and, you know, all of these other things, these diversities as far as, you know, different people, different cultures. These rules apply to this. This rule applies to that. But see, with all of those divisions, we need to stand on the word of God. We stand on faith. We depend on Jesus Christ. We have a covenant with him, which is where my loyalty and my faith reside. Now, if I choose, and see, that's the thing. God can't control our free will. We have a choice to be unloyal. We have a choice to try to cut ourselves off. And because of that, a lot of times people may say, well, I know what you're saying. I don't want to wait for spiritual blessings. I want my blessings right now. So I'll walk away from the things of God and compromise so that I can be accepted by society versus God rewarding me for eternity. And see, we need to, as believers, need to understand what the value of eternity, eternal life is versus this natural one where nobody can predict when or where they're going to die. Okay? But a lot of people hold this valuable because this is more tangible and it feels better for the now. And I always tell my wife, I say, honey, you know, a lot of times I told her I'm a chess player. You know, we gotta play chess one day. I said, but I think 10 moves ahead. Everybody thinks of the right now. So I may tell my son to do something, and my wife is like, why are you being hard on him now because of that? I said, I'm not being hard on him. I'm laying a foundation because I see where this can grow into. I see afar off. You just want to satisfy his crying right now. I said, that's not the way it works because, see, if I don't do this right now, and see, that's the way God is. God sees things afar off. He wants you to be loyal. He loves us so much that he gave his life for us. So, I mean, how loyal is that? Like, I'd rather be loyal to a person who's willing to give his life for me, can be saved for eternity, versus just this temporal life. Okay? People are dying
Let me ask you this. What about, but then when we talk about our relationships, like you said, with, you know, when we talk about relationships one to another, how is it important for us to be loyal to one another, to my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ? and those that we are that we are engaged in now, that we are in quote unquote fellowship or koinonia. We're supposed to be connected and our loyalty to them as we walk out this life.
And see, you're absolutely right. It goes back to what we were saying about the body. See, if I'm having trouble with a limb, I don't cut it off. I try to nurse it back to health. I mean, if a person breaks their arm, they're going to cry out. And they're going to nurse their arm back to health. They're going to go through rehab to make sure that that relationship stays together. If you ever talk to a person with one arm, he'll tell you, hey, man, listen, I loved it when I had this arm. But for some reason, it actually cut itself off. And there was something that may have happened in his life, but he can tell you, hey, listen, I had a better life, and I tried everything I can to make sure that this member stayed with me. You know, our loyalty to each other has to be reflected of Jesus Christ. He said there is nothing that can separate the love that he has for you. What can separate the love of Jesus Christ from you? And that's our mindset on what we have to understand in the body of Christ for each other. There shouldn't be anything to cause any division between you and I. There should be nothing for us to part relationships that because we know that we are part of the body. And if the member is not acting right, you rub it and nurse it back to health. I mean, you know, so that the church, the body of Christ, can operate fully and we can be on one accord. When a body is on one accord, it can do a lot of things. But if the body is sick or lame because of things happening to the natural body, and that's the reason why Jesus Christ, they used the body of Christ as a symbolic way so people understand how close your relationship has to be. Your relationship, my relationship to you is loyal, like, man, that's my mouthpiece. Without him, I can't speak. It's like the words that I may going to say, he's bold enough where I may say, okay, I want to try to wait it out. I want to try to do it. Deacon Farr said to me, nah, Deke, we got to address this now. We don't want this virus to get worse in this body. And see, that's the way we got to look at it. And see, without you, I may not be able to accomplish the things that I need to do in Christ by being single. So every member, every person, you have to be loyal to the point where people would look at your relationship that you have in the church or what you would say the body of Christ, because we know we are the church. They should look at that and say, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that because, see, people see what the members may be doing on the outside, but they never take heed to actually look at the other things that happen behind the scenes. They don't see people that really do sincerely pray for other people at home. They don't see that part. And when they may be living a rambunctious life because right now we have a lot of social distancing and things in place to keep us apart, but they don't see that that person is praying for them not to drift. And he's calling them by name. And God is hearing him and having mercy so that person won't drift. Doesn't mean that person is not saved. It just means that he may have been caught up in something that he may have wanted to get a prayer in, but the temptation was too heavy, and he's not around the people that he should be. So we want to reach out to him. We want to pray for him. If I can't reach out to you by phone, I reach out to you in prayer. But I'm loyal to you. I love the person. I love the people of God. And that's where we got to get to a point where everybody understands that and be mature and be on one accord in Christ. What do you think about that, Deke?
Amen. So, you know, I agree because, you know, that's what God has called us to establish. And when you said early, what you were talking about was covenant. You know, we see marriage as a covenant, but do we see ourselves as covenant with one to another? Brother to brother, church member to church member, believer to believer. Do we have covenant? Are we in covenant with folk that we're connected and that we can encourage one another and strengthen each other and get each other through these times of stress and crisis? And then there's a, you know, there is a covenant because God has made a covenant with us. But are we loyal to the covenant, again, for those people that are in our lives that we're connected to that will keep us going, that we can keep each other going? We're here to strengthen each other. And I think that's one of the things we want to come back to as we talk about the church and the believers and the body of Christ. Are we looking to keep each other in good health spiritually? our relationships are good, where we can depend on one another. You know, there's a lot of things. I mean, I think right now when it's current events, I really don't like bringing current events, but in the midst of what's going on with this pandemic and the virus, this has shown people who they can depend on and how the church can take care of each other and also take care of the unbeliever and be vital in the community. You know, I think that's why I say that God is sovereign in all these things, because we have to start to show some things. We get into spiritual ruts, we get into routines and traditions, and we forget. And I think that's one of the things. Are we loyal? Are we loyal to your local congregation that you're part of? Because I always say, and I always encourage everyone, you have to be part of a local body that knows you, that can come to you, that's going to check on you. And that you are checking on some folk in the body. You know, you can't leave it up to the pastors and elders and deacons and all those, because but you are you connected where you know the person that's on, you know, that sits on your pew or you sit next to every week, are they okay? Are you reaching out to them? Are we praying one to another? Are we calling each other up and just talking to one another? I know a lot of people out here talking about they can't wait to fellowship, get back in the building of fellowship. Why haven't you been reaching out to one another in the midst of this? It's been 9 weeks or 10 weeks. So you're telling me because you haven't been in the church building all these Sundays, you ain't reached out and talked to nobody who, quote unquote, is in your church. I'm just saying it's time for us to look in the mirror. But this is what I'm talking about. Do we have loyalty and committed to those that God has put in our life? And I think this whole pandemic situation and the shut-ins test the church and test us as individual believers. Really, as individual believers, are we really connected, or are we only connected for the 2 and 3 hours on Sunday, and that we call ourselves a church, a congregation, or whatever? Amen. You know, listen, it's just Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and tonight we're talking about we started with the character of Christian men matters, being honest, showing loyalty, and showing determination, because the call for every man of God is to live in obedience to His word. And tonight we were talking about three character traits of honest, being honest, showing honesty, being honest, and showing loyalty and determinations. Amen. I got one brother. I got one person who wants to share. I'm gonna bring them in real quick here, and let them share. And then we're gonna touch in our next point. We're gonna talk about determination, showing determination. Amen. Amen. Your last four numbers are 4945. Praise God.
Praise God. God bless you, Deacon. This is Brother Boone, Community of Love. You
know, Brother Boone,
Black House Ministry. Sir, who is that bad speaker over there talking in Christian wisdom over there? I know the voice, but I can't remember the name. Tell me that person of wisdom's
that's
name.
That's one of them drummer brothers. That's one of the brothers who put drums and never seen that in the service. Just banging on the drum.
I should have known. Those drummers always stick together. Those drummers stick together,
don't
they?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever. All right. Yeah. Drummers, I got you. All right, man. How you doing, bro? What you want to say?
Love you guys. Love you guys, man. You have a lot of topics there, so I don't know which one you want me to expound on.
Okay, well, what you got? I don't understand. You called me, and you hit the button.
Okay.
What you want to say?
All right. So you said you had a lot of different topics. You got me against the wall now. So, yes.
We got honesty, we got loyalty. Or loyalty, honesty, which one you want? Which one you want to deal with? What you want to say?
I'll take both of them. Loyalty comes with honesty, and honesty comes with loyalty, okay? So you can't have one without the other. We both know that. So thanks for trying to confuse me. I appreciate that. but being the child of God, you have to be versatile anyway. You know, you're dealing with so many people in this world, as Deacon stated, you know, and by the best way to deal with them, as he stated, is being girded, grounded, and not moved. He, what I heard from him, he's not moving. This is what God said. This is how God walked. This is how God talked. And there's nothing wrong with him being loyal to the word. Absolutely. so So I totally agree with him. To expound on that, he hit every avenue. So I'm just walking with him. What'd you say, D?
Amen, bro. Amen. And you're right. And then when we talk about that loyalty, too, you know, we talk about a lot, but again, you know, are we brothers? Are we truly our brother's keeper? Are we truly the body of Christ? Are we concerned about all parts of the body, every part of the church, every member, every ministry? Are we connected? Who's in our circle of influence? And I think that's very important to be loyal to. Even when a brother stumbles and falls and makes a mistake or is going through some stuff or makes a bad choice, are we still loyal to pray for them, to make ourselves available to minister, to serve them, to encourage them along the way, not judge them? And you know how sometimes I don't know no brother like that anyway, because I got rid of most of them. But you know who's gonna tell you what you're doing? Don't you know no better? You know what I mean? That kind of judgmental attitude and tone. But are we gonna reach out and encourage them, say, hey, you know what? You have an opportunity to repent and turn this thing around. Because why? Because God didn't kill you in your sin. So repent, get up, and keep moving. And be set free, because that's the other thing about our salvation. We're set free from the guilt of what we've done. And it doesn't matter whenever we confess Christ or the sin of prayer or all that. In this walk, we're gonna slip, we're gonna miss, we may not get it all right, but come to ourselves, that's all I like to say. Once we come to ourselves, God forgive me, and let's get up and let's go try it again. Because God's going to test you in that thing again. You're going to get another opportunity to get it right. Because, again, you're not going to reach the final. I don't care what many, I don't want to say it, but whatever erroneous teaching you may have heard, we are not going to be perfect here on this earth in these flesh bodies.
No way. No way.
We also know we have to start to apply the word to ourselves. We have to start to be sacrificial, and we have to keep connected one to another. Continue to pray for each other. Continue to ask people to pray. When we're going through, reach out to someone who's going to pray with you. You know, because, and you know, for us as brothers that are, you know, spiritually mature, make sure we have a heart to hear and let people vent. Sometimes let people just get it off their chest to us and not give an answer. I struggle with that sometimes. Sometimes people just want to talk. I've learned that over the years. Let them talk. Let them get it all off their chest. And they not, you know, they may not look for an answer, but they just want to get it off their chest. And then maybe once they get it off their chest, because their mind is all caught up in it, then God will speak to them about the answer or what their need is. But maybe they just need to get it out verbally. And we have to sometimes be an ear and encourage them and just pray for them and keep folk in prayer. Because, you know, just because again, and on the other side of that, just because you don't hear from folk, don't think they ain't going through. That's why I personally have a list of names of people I pray for and that are in my circle. And, you know, you check on them and you text them. But, you know, you continually, God, you know they're going through it right now, this moment. Please help them. Encourage them. You know, I'll share this. I'm going to share this as we get ready to go. But, you know, this morning I connected with one of my godsons, and it just happened. Dialed this number by mistake, and then didn't answer. But then he called me back, and then we ended up talking on the phone for like 45 minutes. And because some stuff was going on, but that's how God does. But we have to be in that place and be ready with the wisdom to encourage them. And you never know when it's going to happen. So as men of God, we have to be, again, we have to learn to be honest. Show loyalty to folk, even in the midst, because everybody's. And let me say this: when I talk about loyalty and committed to those that God has put in our life, everybody's walk is not the same. Because I know a lot of folk out there right now listening; they know me as Deacon Farr, but there's some folk out there know me before it was Deacon Farr. So, and it is a process, and sometimes we got to be careful that we don't look at people. We want everybody's walk to be like our walk. You know what I'm saying? Or we want everybody to be, you know, you saved now. Why are you still doing this? And why are you yada yada? We got to be careful with that. Because that's where we get self-righteous. And we become Pharisees. Yeah. And we become the same people Jesus condemned when he was walking on earth in his ministry. But we have to know people are going to grow. We want to encourage them along the way. And like we mentioned before about being honest and holding folk accountable. We got to hold people accountable in love. because you know, because it you know, you have to be careful. You have to be careful. Like Deacon Anthony said, it's important about having these relationships. You know who you can talk to, you know you can't talk to. So don't try and make a relationship something that it's not. Okay, but then also we have to be able to build those relationships. Because I talked about this before, about the brothers. In the last 5 years, how many new friendships, relationships have you developed? Or you just know people from 30, 40 years ago, and you don't know no new people. You don't spend no time with nobody. You're already locked in. And then when they start dying off, you're going to be dead. You're going to be the last living one because you ain't made no friends in 25 years. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
You got to at least have, you know, some new people. You got to have some new people. Otherwise, you don't want to die old and alone because all your friends died. You ain't made no new friends. And I'm joking.
True.
I'm just saying. Something to think about out there, church.
It's the truth.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, but you know what? Amen. Amen. What I'm going to do, we're going to go around. We'll come to you, Brother Boone. Give your closing statements, man. Anything you want to share. Deacon Anthony, and I'm going to come to you. You're going to give us a closing remarks and pray us out. And brothers, I do appreciate you for calling in, being part of the program. Those who called in at 646-668-2636. God bless you. We see you on the line, on the switchboard here. Thank you for calling and spending time with us. I hope something was said today that would encourage you, something that would keep you going, something that make you seek understanding, seek his word, continue in prayer, and don't give up. Don't give up on God. No matter what's going on right now, God is in control. He hears your prayers. He knows what you're going through. He knows your heart. He knows your desires. But sometimes we have to be patient and endure through the thing. Sometimes we have to endure through the thing because sometimes, you know, God does stuff, makes us endure because on the other side, we need to be appreciative of God's deliverance for us. Because every day I appreciate God delivering me from all the stuff that I was doing. So when I look back and say, you know what, God, thank you. Because I could have died. I could have died in car wrecks. I could have died in the coke house. I could have died jumping off of whatever. I could have died in the subway train when riding New York because it could have crashed when I was on it. But I did not die, and I'm here. So we have to continue to seek God, know that he's in control, and just endure some things. Because God, again, understand, don't never forget that God loves you. He knows you. He has a purpose for your life. Because, again, God's call on our life, there's going to be one soul or one person or one life that you're going to be able to save because of your salvation. He saved you to reach somebody else. He didn't save you for yourself and have a nice, comfortable life. He saved you that you'll be able to live out the gospel and be able to share the gospel that you might save someone else. So stay focused, stay encouraged, and never, never give up. Brother Boone, I'm going to give it to you, and then Deacon Anthony, you got the last final word, and pray us out. Amen?
Amen, amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters who are on this line. God bless you. And those who are trying to get that agape relationship, that relationship as you have with a friend or your wife or your child, getting that godly relationship is one of the best things ever. Believe me, as Deacon Farr stated, that I was to the left before, but now I'm finally right. But know this, in this situation, that these situations are not new. They're new to us because we're living and seeing it. But they've been repeated. What did Jesus do when these things happened? He went to his Father and waited for the answer to what to do. He didn't just hastily run out there and did something just out of mind. So stand fast, pray on it, believe in what you hear, have your ear open, have your gut clean, and receive the word and be at peace. What do you say, brother?
Amen. Father God, it's in the precious name of Jesus, I thank you. Father God, I thank you for another opportunity, Father, to share your word and to hear your word, Lord God. Father, forgive us for the things that we may take for granted. We thank you, Father, for being a keeper. We thank you, Father, for being a healer, Father. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord God. Father, we lay everything on the altar, Father. You said that we can cast our cares upon you because you care for us. Father, you said that we can ask anything in your name according to your will, and you will do it. So we ask you, Father, whoever it may be, that may be struggling with something right now, Father, or maybe drifting because they're in fear or because of they may have be ashamed, Father, of the things that they may have done or what they may be doing now. We ask you, Father, to touch them right there where they are. Touch them, Father, deliver them and heal them and restore them back to you. We thank you, Father, for being a keeper through everything that's going on. Father, we ask you to have your way, Father, in us.
Have your way, Jesus.
Make us the people that you called us to be, Lord God. Make us the men that you encourage us to be, Lord God. Let us model your lifestyle, Father, and model salvation, Father. Let it be not just in our hearts and in our mouth, Father, but let us live it out, Father God. Let us walk out the things that you've done for us, Lord God. And we thank you, Father. We claim everything done, Father. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, brothers.
Psalm 97.
God bless you.
The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness.